be pleased, to Revelation and chapter 5. The book of the Revelation in chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and of the in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials, full of the odors which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and of the beasts and the elders, the number of them 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. One final reference passage in Luke chapter 16, please. Luke's Gospel in chapter 16. Trust the reading, if I don't say much upon it, the reading of it will solemnize us all. Verse 23, And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my For I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them. That word testify is earnestly testify, lest they also come into this place of torments. You know, the Lord will bless what we have heard, and trust give help to conclude the meeting. Though I may not touch very much on Luke 16, yet I just want to look at the two passages by the way of contrast. And after all, the Bible is written in such a way, the messages are clear and plain, that if there's a seeking soul that would come to this conclusion, in reading your Bible, you'll always come across contrast. That's the best way to understand the messages that God has in this book. He contrasts one thing with another. That is, he contrasts darkness with light. He contrasts death with life. He contrasts love with hate. He contrasts a broad road with a narrow road. And here we want to look. He's contrasting a song with a lament. And that's what's on my mind at the close of this meeting, to look at the song and try to analyze this grand song that we find in the book of Revelation chapter 5.
and try to look at it very simply, because I take it that in the song, the greatest in all our Bible, it's a song that has the message of the gospel embedded right in it. In other words, if you could take in the truth that's found in the song of Revelation 5, you would join that crowd, that band, that company, that congregation, and you would join eternally to sing that song, "Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." And so I want to look at that very simply. You know, the Bible begins really with a song. It's a poem, but it's coming on top of the song. Those instruments of music that Tubal-Cain wrought. And after that we find that song of murder and violence and evil and death. Lamech's lament. "I've found a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt," and so forth. How tragic it was. Man's sin caused that song or that poem to be uttered by this man Lamech. But I'm glad our Bible ends with a great song. That song is the song concerning him and his worthiness. I'm glad the first song in the Bible, of course, is not Lamech's poem or song. The first song is when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted with joy at creation. God had the harmony of song in creation. But I want to look at this one tonight. I want to try to get it across to someone in the meeting that you will stop and ponder, because either you're going to join the song or join the lament. When life's little pathway is over and you're finished your little course, and you breathe your last on earth, you're either going to adopt the eternal song that's found in Revelation chapter 5, or you're going to join with the lament of the individual of Luke 16. I want you to notice that every song has a high note. And the high note of this song, I want to get across to you tonight, is this: "Thou art worthy." That's the high note of the song of Revelation chapter 5. Without going into the detail and the background and the exposition of it, because it's the coming forth of the Christ to assert his rights on earth and to claim a world that has been corrupted by man's sin. And he's going to come in and he's going to claim that earth for himself. And in doing so, they begin to vibrate with this song, "Thou art worthy." But I want to bring the principal friend to your mind tonight, that this song is the highest note, the song of heaven and of earth. For all are joined in this song. All begin to move with the song of "Thou art worthy." Because this tells me, friend, they're not singing about sin. And they're not singing about religion. And they're not singing about their works. And they're not singing about angels or seraphim or cherubim. They're not occupied with anything else but this triumphant note, "Thou art worthy." And friend, tonight, if you could get a hold of it, there's none of us tonight worthy of salvation. We never merited it. We could never earn it. We could never pay for it. We have nothing to pay with. And you'll learn tonight, if you get God's salvation, "Thou art worthy." That's the one I trust. The worthiness of the Lamb. The worthiness of the one that died at Calvary. Friend, tonight, I hope you'll catch the theme of the highest note of the universe of bliss, friend. "Thou art worthy." You know when that song commences? When you trust Christ. When you learn, "I'm a poor, lost, guilty sinner. I can't save myself. I can't pray my way to heaven or pay my way to heaven. But all alone in my sin as a poor, lost sinner, I trust the worthiness of that blessed person." The song commences. Song begins. You know, you mightn't be able to keep tunes and keep the right note when they're singing, but I'll tell you something. This, what I'm preaching about, sings itself. Do you remember when it sprang with up in your heart as a poor sinner? That moment you trusted Christ, you understood he died for you, that song commenced. "I have a song I love to sing. Be redeemed." What about you tonight in the meeting? Here's the song of heaven. Here's the song of eternal bliss. Here's the song that will vibrate and re-echo throughout the corridors of eternity. Here's the song that will never wax or wane. Here's the song that will always be at the top. The highest note will always prevail. Thou art worthy. The highest note. But I want you to notice that this song, for thou wast slain. You know, we never get too far in gospel preaching from the sacrifice to the cross, from the death of Christ. And you could maybe say, well, do you have nothing else to preach?
No, friend, well, nothing else to preach.
Could you not tell us something better? No, we can never tell you anything better. Thou wast slain. All heaven, friend, will ever look back to Calvary. That's the center of all the theme of that song. Thou art worthy. Thou wast slain. Indicates the tremendous sacrifice offered at Calvary.
Put away my sin. Listen to the word of God. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God.
Once in the end of the age, up he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What a noble, what a grand, unparalleled, unrivaled sacrifice when Christ hung at dark Calvary, friend. They're singing about it in heaven. And when 10 billion years roll past, it'll still be as fresh. The luster of the cross will never lose its beauty, its grandeur,
its uniqueness. You remember when you got there?
That song commenced. I know the first time I walked in after God saved me, because I hadn't been in the meeting for 5 years. Poor mum prayed for me day and night.
Waited for me, longed for life, the day I could see.
My father sometimes would pull into the some Christian's home and say, would get down with me and pray for my son on the road to hell. And no one married it was often. There I was out in the high seas, away from Christ and away from God. And on the road that led to eternal ruin. And I hope you'll never care tonight. After I got saved, I never forget walking into the Easter conference. Just like yesterday. That's the thing about salvation. Everything's just a yesterday when you look back.
It's just right at your elbow.
And of course, I remember walking in there and my mother, my father, brothers and sisters, and I walked through those big swinging doors.
It's a long time since I've been in there. And when I looked at that platform, I thought there were 60 preachers, but now there's only 40.
You always see double when you're just saved.
And of course, when I looked in there, at the hall started packing, they started to come in around the gallery, and they filled the place to capacity. I'll never forget it.
My God, glad to be sure of heaven.
My friend, I feel sometimes, I feel we should leave almost the platform when we think of being born again and going to heaven, sealed and redeemed. Wonderful to be saved.
Well,
I looked there and I saw my dear mother with the tears coming down. You know what you're saying? I can hardly believe he's here.
Yeah, I can hardly believe he's here. I can hardly believe it myself. It's all of grace. And I well remember as they give out one hymn after another.
Well, I'll never forget another hymn. Hand was a book. Little hymn book.
And one of those gentlemen, I thought he looked like an angel. Very since they're not. But anyway, I thought he looked like an angel. And he says, we'll give out that hymn, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him for all. And my, when I got down to that verse, I never forget it, my hands started to tremble, and the tears started to fall. Sinners whose love can never forget, the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him, Lord of all. I thought I was stepping almost into heaven. Wonderful, friend, to be saved. You know what I said to myself as I stopped singing and listened to what I thought was a heavenly choir? I said, oh, God, thanks for saving me, making me a redeemed child of God from the road to hell. My friend, are you saved? That's all. Thank God, my friend, it tells us of the greatest sacrifice
Yonder at Calvary, the only sacrifice that was acceptable. The only sacrifice that ever would be acceptable. God will not accept anything from any man, from any sinner.
No matter how good, how righteous, how moral, how upright, how my friend giving them might be in benevolence.
God says it's not of works. God says I can't accept anything that the sinner gets. That's why the hymn is right, isn't it? Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. But God says I can only accept one sacrifice. That's my son. He be acceptable for the sinner, please.
And yonder at Calvary, that mighty transaction took place,
never to be repeated once and for all, friend. A sacrifice acceptable, but only acceptable if that sacrifice is upon
me. I'm one of the old-fashioned ones, and I'm
only your father, but I'm old-fashioned enough to believe there's enough in the death of Christ to sweep the world.
All the sins of Adam's race,
with perfect justice to his case, in heaven's balances were led.
They would be utterly outweighed by Jesus' blood, the value lies. All in the infinite sacrifice.
My friend, that sacrifice is abundant. It'll take in every man, every woman, boy and girl that will come as a repentant, lost, guilty sinner. Trust the merits of that work that he accomplished.
I love those hymns. No works of mine. No merit can I bring. No holiness within. I only trust the precious blood of Christ. A cleansing of all sin.
Thank God, friend, not only is it abundant, not only is it acceptable, but friends, I feel about you tonight.
I hear the words of love.
My ears upon the blood. See that mighty sacrifice. My friend, that's the only
work that will save your soul and keep you out of hell and cleanse you from your sin and destine you for the glory
and give you a song commencing here that will roll eternally throughout the ages of the ages. Are you going to heaven tonight? Are you? When did it happen? Where did it happen? How did it happen?
But I want to get to the third point and leave it.
Not only have we met the highest rules of our world. Oh,
I would love to have got a hold of that better. Thou art worthy.
For thou hast slain the greatest sacrifice for the most sweetest thing. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. You're the sweetest thing that ever I will ever have.
Dr. Harry Ironside, that well-known
man who wrote so many books, he took 45 minutes on the theme of the blood of Christ.
A reporter came in to listen to him, and she came in with her little book to write down all his statements and write down his sermon. When he announced his title, "I'm going to speak tonight on the blood of Christ,"
she took the book and set it down on the floor and put the steam and she sat through.
Walking out, Dr. Harry Ironside was at the door. Walking out, she come along and she said,
"I'm surprised that you, Mr. Ironside, or Dr. Ironside, would take 45 minutes to speak upon such a common thing as blood."
"Ah," said Dr.
Ironside, "I hear it, what you call holy, my God calls precious. And it's the only title through the pearl hung gates.
What can wash away my stain?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus."
And my friend tonight, the value of that blood lies in it,
in the person whose blood was shed.
The value of that sacrifice is the one who died. And the value of the blood is the one who shed it.
My friend, thank God for its value. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. I heard dear Mr. Sayward gone to glory. Speak in the blood for 30 minutes, it's thrown the soul. I thought I never knew how to preach after he had finished.
Yeah, I said to him that night it was worth
traveling 600 kilometers to hear you preach in the blood.
You know what he said to me? Oh, he says, Albert, if you're getting the top of any gospel meeting, just switch over to the back. Something very pleasant about it. Yeah. I'll never forget what he told me in that meeting of that girl. I told us, President, the late President Eisenhower was in this store. Very authentic. Where this girl was looking for a blood to meet her need. They couldn't find it in the area she lived. Just a little girl. And they couldn't find the blood, the rare type of blood that she had to save her life. Who's that girl that she would have left? And sent it to the President of the United States of America. Back to the White House. And it was put on the desk. The President. And he read it. And his heart was touched to the desk. Hearing from a little girl, please, Mr. President, can you help him? Dying with disease. I need a certain kind of blood. Get a tongue for me. He got a secretary immediately to type back, my dear little girl, we will scour the United States of America to find it. If we can't find it here, we'll go elsewhere. Needless to say, the blood was found. He took a special Air Force plane, or plane that they use for the military. I thought that he was terrible. I looked it out. That blood saved the life of a little girl. No friend, we were lying in our sin, dark, naked, hell-deserving, guilty, vile, wretched, no hope, helpless, hopeless, without Christ, without God, without hope. God saw our plight, you only did. He recognized we needed blood to cleanse. We couldn't find it in the universe among angels. He couldn't find it in earth. He found it in his own bosom. He sent his Son. Amazing grace. Amazing love. Wonderful gift. Marvelous sacrifice. Precious blood. Precious blood. And friend, that blood is the only blood that atones. I hope you'll trust that person tonight. Isn't he worthy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was thinking when my brother was speaking, I'd be the same as himself. I'd love to get back to that first moment of thank God for his Son. Just to hear that grief coming out of my little heart of appreciation for the man that won my heart at Calvary. Blessed man of Calvary won my heart from me who died to set me free. Blessed man. Wonderful man. Beautiful man. Unique man.
Do you know tonight, we're not talking about religion or joining the gospel hall or taking communion or being baptized. We're talking about a person, a Christ that died and blood was shed. The theme, my friend, is eternal.
Darby caught that language of Revelation 5 and that beautiful hymn. Hark, 10,000 voices cry, Lamb of God with one accord. Thousand saints reply, wake at once. Death we court. I can't wait to get to heaven almost.
Hello, I'm a young man, but I'll tell you something. If the Lord come tonight, I'll be as happy as can be. Transported from the scenes of earth with all its mess
and confusion and darkness and night and sin and wallowing in the mire of guilt, friend, to rise into the scenes of glory to look at the man.
I could keep you here because then they tell me about it, but I'm not going to do it.
I'm going to do it, friend. I'm going to let you out.
But I hope you were not saved and not leave this building without asking the question, what have I got to do? Because you missed the blood, you missed Christ, you missed salvation, you missed the sacrifice.
What a contrast.
What a contrast. From the singing of heaven and the theme of eternal praise and the lays that will rise in a crescendo until the universe. Awful wheels lost. The sad thing about Revelation, Luke 16, in contrast to Revelation, is this. Revelation, all the saints are blended, and angels are coming in, and
It's just moving outward and outward and outward in sweet, harmonious fellowship. Luke 16 is a lonely man. A lonely man. You know that something, friend? You die without Christ, you poor old. Listen, never you think in your silly mind, get it right out now. God help you to put it in your mind. If you think there's company in hell, there's no company there. You might have friends that tonight, that some of you sit here and say, good Lord, you mean that after you may have preaching hard, you speak of their precious blood, and about the Bible. Listen, friend, you're seeing friends when you come to death, they're going to leave you. You're alone for eternity.
Oh, with emptiness without the Savior, mid sin, earth's sins and sorrows here below, and eternity how dark without a roof, only night and tears, and endless woe. What if I should live without the Savior? When I come to die,
how will I be? Won't it be existence?
Some of you tonight have been nurtured in the gospel or left for. You've a Bible you've got from Sunday school. And you're sharing the broad road with you down to hell. What a hell.
The Christ rejecter. He misses Christ having heard the gospel.
I wouldn't have to be. It makes me shudder tonight, even though I'm going to heaven.
As sure as I was already there.
And I miss it.
That night, 38 years ago, and I have missed it. I look back and sometimes my soul trembles. Probably you probably missed it.
The quietness of this room. Should I be able to sing for the night?
Really sings. Turn into the mystery.
Not me, you know what he says? Saint Lazarus did the tip of his finger
in water through my tongue.
You know what was going to hurt that man for eternity that I just picked up recently? At least it stood out almost like a three dimensional to me. Remember, thou in thy lifetime. The man's moving back over a lifetime. My friend in hell, sinners will
come peering or not. Only to have mercy upon the worst.
No wonder George Whitfield, the flaming evangelist, would have been once a little ray of his
mystery. He preached on hell.
His head down and he wept. And he tried to get at it again.
He said, the wrath of God. Again he wept.
For a whole hour,
people heard that statement, the wrath of God.
Why do we thought we need to take us all tonight, preacher and all, and just give us one little peep for one second? Friend, it's either the singing or the sigh. Either the darkness or the light. Either the glory or the gloom. It's either Christ or your sin. Which is it going to be tonight? Tomorrow just might be 24 hours too late. We plead with you. In the Lord's name shall we pray.
Our Father, we bow in thy presence in the Savior's peerless name. We thank thee for the twofold message and pray, Lord, that there might be those that will have their name written in the book of life, even this very night. We bless thee for those whose names already have been written there in that page bright and fair. And, O God, we pray that no soul to whom we've spoken to tonight, the side of this building and down right to the underneath, Father, the gallery here, that each one might have heard thy voice. They're either going to appreciate as sinners the sacrifice, the value of the blood. They're either going to thank God for the substitute, the work of Christ for them as lost sinners. Or either they're going to be like this rich man of whom the Lord spoke so solemnly and searchingly. He lifted up his eyes, being in hell, crying for a drop of water, praying for his five brethren, and the remorse of his soul will ever be, thou in thy lifetime. Lord, part us solemnly, prayerfully, and save souls tonight, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just one verse of a hymn, and the meeting is concluded, 254. Verse number 2 of this hymn, and the meeting is concluded. Remember the prayer meeting, short prayer meeting after this meeting, appreciating the brethren that have come, joined in this most noble work to do, praying to God.